Welcome to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network, a show that streams health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community. You can download all Kidney Talk shows from iTunes and find a variety of resources to help you navigate this illness at rsnhope.org. Please welcome your host, Lori Hartwell, who has lived with kidney disease since the age of two.
Well, welcome to Kidney Talk, everyone. We have a real champion in the kidney community today, and she just tirelessly works for people who have kidney disease. And so we're very excited to have Dawn Edwards with us today. Welcome to the show, Dawn.
Hi, Lori. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm so excited to finally get the opportunity to speak with you.
Well, so tell the audience a little bit about your story.
Sure. My name's Dawn Edwards, and I am 53 years old. I'm a mother of one beautiful daughter, and I've been a kidney patient for the past 32 years. I've been an advocate for over 25 years, and I'm currently a nocturnal home hemodialysis patient awaiting my second transplant.
Well, you know, that you've had quite a journey. What was the cause of your kidneys failing?
They're not really sure. When I was diagnosed, it was way back in 1992. And so they didn't have all of the diagnostic treatments and things that they have nowadays. But they believed that I had a staph infection when I was a child. I actually had scarlet fever. And they believed that that was never really resolved, and it finally resulted in end-stage kidney failure.
You know, what people don't realize is that bacteria and viruses are not friends to your kidneys. More people...
Absolutely not.
I mean, my kidney failure is caused from E. coli bacteria. I mean, you know...
Really?
Just,
I didn't know that.
It was when I was 2 years old.
And I had scarlet fever at 3 years old.
So, you know, if you have a child, be very careful. Right?
Yeah, really.
It can definitely impact your life. So you said that you're waiting your second transplant. So tell us, when you started dialysis, you know, what treatment did you choose? And then how did you kind of progress to nocturnal?
Oh, my goodness. Well, when I first started on dialysis, my nephrologist that diagnosed me, he told me about my two choices. He told me that in-center hemodialysis was just simple. All I had to do was show up at the appointed time. I would do my 4 hours, and I didn't have to do anything but show up. And so I asked him, what other choices did I have? And he said, well, there's another way you can do dialysis called peritoneal dialysis. And he says, but you would be doing that 7 days a week at home by yourself. But you don't want to do dialysis that way because you'll get an infection and die. So by him giving me that information, he scared me from trying home therapies. And I went in center. And that was not the ideal choice for me at 23 years old with a new husband and a 2-year-old at home.
You know what? I hear this story so many times, and it makes me crazy. I actually had a friend of mine that had a young daughter who was in her 20s, and she was told the same thing. And I said, go talk to this doctor.
Exactly.
And she was on PD for 5 years till she got transplanted. And
yes.
I think that it's just so unfortunate because, you know, I had a different situation where I was getting hemo as a child, and it was acetate, not bicarb. So I frequently had seizures, I was the first child to ever go on PD. So they like literally brought it to me.
Oh my goodness.
And I swear to goodness, I just, you know, it changed my life. I mean, the next 9 years, I didn't have any blood pressure problems. That what I think is the most amazing thing why I'm here today at 56. We all brag about our age when we have kidney disease, everybody.
I know, I do too. I love my gray hair and everything now.
Exactly. I mean, it's we're fighting for birthdays, right?
It really, really. But the same thing with me, with the blood pressure. I haven't had a blood pressure issue since I started on peritoneal dialysis. And I was fortunate enough to get 10 years out of PD before I got my first transplant.
Well, and that's what it is. It's like, it's all fluid-based. Everybody, you know, really? All blood pressure. It's actually, I mean, I'm pretty confident on this fact, but 90% of all high blood pressure on dialysis is related to fluid overload. And it's undiagnosed.
I agree.
And, you know, that's always been, I've been fighting the community to, like, you know, fluid management since like 95.
Right.
People are tired of hearing me sometimes, but thankfully the community
is. But it's so important.
It's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything.
And the home therapies is, you know, another thing that's important, because I don't know about you, but I got my life back when I started doing my treatments at home. I was empowered. I was in control. I had a great relationship with my care team, which is another thing that's crucially important that patients really need to take advantage of. Every member of that care team is so important to helping you achieve that quality of life that you really want to achieve with kidney disease. It's not a curse. You know, it's not a death sentence. It's all about how you manage, manage your kidney disease and how well you work with your care team.
It's so true. I mean, a lot of people like to say, oh, I'm going to get a transplant. If I don't get a transplant, I'm going to die.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, and I understand that fear. I understand that message.
Yeah.
Because you're just, you know, but we're so grateful. Other organs
have
that, but we actually have a bridge to help us.
Yes, we have choices, and innovations are coming out now. We have different ways that we can do our dialysis treatments to fit into our lifestyle. And one of the things that I learned during the course of my journey is that we need different things at different times in our lives.
Right.
PD was a great option for me when I was raising my daughter. And then the transplant, that worked for 6 years, and that was a great option at that time in my life. But then when I had to go back on dialysis, I wanted to go back home. So that's when I learned about home hemodialysis, and I started doing the short treatments more frequently, and that was great. And then the FDA approved the nocturnal dialysis, and I said, oh, it's time for me to get an upgrade. And that's when I started doing nocturnal dialysis, and I've been doing that for over 6 years now. And I'm telling you, the outcomes and the way that I feel just can't measure up to how I felt when I was doing in-center hemo. I don't ever want to go back to in-center hemo if I don't have to.
Well, and I think, you know, and I've learned this over years, and you can, you know, we could discuss it, but when I'm unhappy, it's because usually I feel out of control.
Yes.
And once you start to take some control, and, you know, knowledge is power, and learn all the aspects, it helps you navigate your illness a little better. And,
absolutely.
And we have to be our own advocate, because nobody is going to do it for us like we will.
Lori, I'm telling you, I learned that early on in my journey. After that 3.5 years in center, I said, you know what, I have to do better. And I got involved with my ESRD network, and I learned so much about managing kidney disease and about eating right and managing those fluids and just taking better care of myself. And that's when, you know, I really became empowered.
Exactly. You feel you have control. And, you know, the more you know, the less you know in this community.
Yes, indeed.
I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, it's frustrating because then science changes. I mean, you know,
yes.
It's a medical practice, guys, and they're practicing on us, okay?
Yes, that's very true. Very true. But, you know, sometimes you can get an option for you with your, even with the medications, you know, for depression and things like that. You have to try different things until you find that sweet spot. And when you finally do get there and you can get over that fear of trying new things, you can really achieve that quality of life that we so desperately need.
And, you know, I have to bring this up because you're doing nocturnal home hemo.
Yes.
Do you self-cannulate, and how did you address that?
Yeah, that was one of my biggest fears. And I really wanted to be at home. And so my nurse and I talked about it. And the thing about learning how to self-cannulate is the skill of these training nurses. These home training nurses are professionals at teaching you how to get home. And my nurse just took her time with me. We started with pulling the needles out. And then she held my hand and she helped guide me into putting my needles in. And in no time, I was putting those needles in and taking them out by myself. I just put my big girl panties on and just, you know, went for it. And once I cannulated myself, I would never let anybody touch me again. Now, with 32 years of kidney disease, I've run out of accesses. And unfortunately, I'm stuck with a catheter now. And that's why I'm hoping that this transplant comes through quickly.
You know, it is. I was a victim of the same thing, Dawn, because they couldn't get fistulas in me. And
right.
And they put, you know, bovines in me. And, like,
yes.
I mean, all kinds of stuff. And technology is a little better. But, you know, your favorite doctor, if he does a good job, you need to kiss
yes,
him.
Is
your vascular
right.
surgeon. Your vascular surgeon is your lifeline, man.
Like, I'm telling you, they're like your best friend, you know. That's who you go to keep that lifeline going. And you have to really, really pay attention to your venous pressures and your arterial pressures. Make sure you go for those interventions in a timely fashion. And you have to take care of that lifeline because it's going to take care of you.
It is. It's everything. And, you know, I used to have lunch with Dr. Scribner, who I had a Scribner shunt when I was 2 years old.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And it was just like, you know, people don't realize if we don't have an access, we can't dialyze.
That's right.
And I mean, so everything starts and ends there. And so, and you know, I always ask that, like, what doctor would you choose to get? You know, I'm always like, turn the, you know, table on the healthcare professionals. Well, would you go to that doctor?
Exactly.
A lot of the times it's just knowing what to ask, right?
And that's what it is. It's asking questions. And also, it's communicating with other patients, too. That's a good way of empowerment. I always say having a peer mentor, someone that's been through it, that's doing the same thing that you're doing, they can be like the best ally in manipulating and making your way along this journey and, you know, managing, you know, kidney disease and making some good choices.
Well, and I agree with you. When I created RSN in 93, I had two missions. Because I didn't see it happening anywhere. And
yes.
An illness is too demanding when you don't have hope. If you don't think you have a future, you're usually right.
That's so true, Lori.
And
hope is the word.
Hope. I mean, and now I'm kind of moving a little forward. I'm like, okay, you can have hope, but we need to flourish now. But hope is essential.
Yes.
And then the other one is one friend makes a difference. And I met
yes.
this girl, Gloria, at a blood transfusion who was a few years older than me. I thought she was cool, which is important because, you
yes.
know, I feel that, and you probably experience this, people like, oh, just because you both have kidney disease, you're going to get along. You have to find something else you relate on.
That's very true.
And, you know, you can kind of connect where you feel like you have something in common.
Yes.
And, you know, one friend does make a difference.
It makes a huge difference.
And so
I just didn't have that, you
right.
know. I didn't have that when I was coming along. You know, I had to learn everything by fire.
Right.
And, you know, that was one of my missions as well, as to be, you know, to be a friend to some patients and to help them to be able to navigate so that they didn't have to go through what I went through.
And just listen. I mean, it's so important just to have somebody, like, your family doesn't often understand.
No.
And you know, just, and they can't. And it's, and I know from my husband, and you probably experienced this, is that when you tell, when I tell my husband a problem, he wants to solve it. And,
yes,
and
that,
you know, and I'm
true.
Like, no, I just want you to tell me everything's going to be okay.
Right. Sometimes you just need a hug and that little kiss on the forehead.
And say, I'm sorry you're going through this.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
It's so fun. And I, we have a group called a Get Creative group where, because I'm a craft addict, I love arts and crafts.
Yes.
And we, I almost fell over, Dawn, and I have to tell you this. I had a young, we have a young girl attending our Get Creative group. She's probably, you know, she's a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And she attends it with all of these women who are like two or three times her age, right?
Oh,
and
my
I
goodness.
Asked her what she said, well, and she's from Canada. And she
yes.
said her doctor told her to attend support groups. And her doctor also told her to attend adult kidney support groups because that's where she will learn.
Okay.
And I'm just, yeah. I almost fell over. I'm glad
yeah.
I was sitting down when I heard it because I'm like, this is so important because so many doctors, and, you know, I have great respect for doctors. But
of
they,
course.
They just think about the hard care science. They don't think
right.
about the emotional side, the soft care of how
right.
do I get, how do I get out of bed in the morning?
That, you know, and that's the biggest challenge. Once you can get up, you know, you can halfway make it through the day.
Exactly.
But you're absolutely right, Lori. Our doctors are... They're looking at our numbers.
Right.
And to me, what I found is that it's more than numbers. It's about how I feel about myself, and it's about the quality of life, not the length.
Right. And my doctor told me this when I was a kid one time. And, you know, and you, I'm sure you've experienced this, Dawn, but when people hear you have kidney disease, they have low expectations of you. They just kind of like, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, okay, let's, you know. And he said once, and I was a teenager, and I'll still remember, he goes, someday you're going to write a book.
Oh, wow.
And I held on to that comment because somebody had a future, a vision of me in the future of doing something than other just being a patient.
Yes.
And you know, healthcare professionals don't realize how powerful their words are to us.
No, they don't. But and, you know, I had a similar situation when I started on home dialysis. My nurse told me she needed me to come back to her with a goal before I started training. And I thought about that. I said, gee, I never thought about a goal. My goal is just to, like you said, get out of bed in the morning. But I never really thought about a goal. And, you know, that was a life-changing experience for me because that's when I decided that I wanted to be about solving problems instead of just complaining. And that's when I became really active with my advocacy. And I decided that I wanted to make a difference every day. And that was my goal. And I lived for that goal every day ever since that nurse asked me that question.
Well,
so
yeah.
It just made a huge difference in my life from then on.
Well, and, you know, adversity can introduce you to yourself and what you're supposed to do. And
yes,
like, I mean, it definitely gave us both purpose. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, managing the diet and how you manage labs and how has that changed being on nocturnal? So,
being on nocturnal is really different because since you're getting that slow, longer dialysis treatment, the labs are really great. The fluid and the dietary restrictions are much less. I practically, I don't want to say I eat what I want, but I don't have as many restrictions as when I was doing in-center hemodialysis. Right. I mean, 3 times a week dialysis as opposed to 6.5 hour treatments every other day is a lot of dialysis. So it really makes a difference in my fluid management, in my phosphorus and potassium management. I really have a great labs, and it makes a difference in how I feel every day. My family calls me the Energizer Bunny now because I just feel so good when I get those treatments, and I do it on time, on schedule, like I'm supposed to.
Well, and, you know, I had the same thing when I was on hemo, and I had, they removed both of my kidneys when I was 13, and I wasn't,
really?
I wasn't bigger than a minute, okay? And that meant I could hardly drink anything with my size. And,
right.
And when I went on peritoneal dialysis, I mean, I felt like I was at Disneyland because—
Yes, I did too.
I literally could drink something, and then, you know, PD was so effective on me that I could—
And it's so nice and gentle.
Well, I could take fluid off of me. And you know, manage it. So if I, you know, had a party to go to, I could, you know, put a 4.25 on and take it off.
Exactly.
And,
that's right.
And, you know, you have more control. And the same thing with doing home hemo. You know, you have the same thing. If you, like, went to a party, you kind of know that you got to take a little more fluid off. And,
exactly.
And it's not the 1,000 to 1,500 per hour.
Oh, no, that's just way too much. That's why, that's what I noticed was that's why I was feeling wiped out. And I had that washed out feeling where
right.
I couldn't get up and go to work. And, you know, that it pretty much ruined my life.
Right.
I had to go on disability as a result. And if I had started on home therapy, I would have been able to maintain my job. And it would have made a lot of difference in the choices that I was able to make. I would have had financial, you know, stability, and I would have been feeling better and all of those things.
Thankfully, the community is getting more of a focus on helping people choose home and understanding
yes.
the benefits, which is good. But
yes.
I think you know this, but I'm a big proponent for changing policy where patients who do their own home get to get paid something.
I agree.
I don't know. It'll take about 20 years to make anything happen, but you got to plant the seed.
We have to keep pushing that one forward. Lori.
It is. It's just, I feel that, you know, I feel so strongly about it because I hear every day a lot of people suffer from financial difficulties, just like the whole country at times. But, you know, it is a commitment to do your own treatment. I mean, you got to put your, you know, got to rotate the boxes and you got to deal with all the, I mean, I'm an expert in shipping and receiving. I don't know if you
right.
are, but.
Yes, now I am.
You do learn a lot of skills that could put
yes,
you at work
you
at Amazon, couldn't you? You get a job at Amazon
right.
tomorrow and put them to shame, right?
Definitely. But you know, we hold so many jobs when you do a home therapy because you're your own nurse, you're the biotech, you're the social worker. You know, you're really
waste management.
You're really empowered, and I don't want to make it sound like a bad thing. Because, you know, I'm happy that I'm in charge.
You're the
and
CEO of
I
your
do
health.
Things, yeah, I'm doing things on my own time, my own way, you know, and I'm in control.
Well, and, you know, I think what people don't realize, too, is that I always say this, just stay alive till the next miracle happens, okay?
Right.
And that's happened to me. I mean, my fourth transplant, I got a little over 11 years ago, and I was 100% antibodies after having 3 prior transplants.
Yes,
and 150
too.
Units of blood before EPO.
Yes.
I mean, if I would have needed this kidney 20 years ago, I wouldn't have gotten it.
Right.
And I just actually got my labs today.
Yeah.
And you know how you scroll down them and you're like, normal range, normal range, normal range, normal range. And I'm like, aha. You
That's
know,
so
everything's
exciting.
Normal. It is. It's the best kidney I've ever had.
Oh, that's great. And, that is great.
And, you know, the innovation that's coming down the pike, there's so many innovation that, you know, people need to speak up and learn about it because we have, you know, potassium binders, phosphorus binders, you know, it's so many things. And, you know, if one's not working for you, you know, you ask your doctor and find a solution.
And that's the key, Lori. The key is talking to your care team. And if one thing isn't working for you, we have choices now that we didn't have back when we started.
Right.
You know, like you said, the potassium binders, there's more than one type of that. The phosphate binders, there's so many types of that. And now we have the new innovations of binders that we can try. So it's all about, like you said, talking to your care team. And if one thing doesn't work for you, you ask them to try something else.
Well, it is. I mean, when I was in my like 8 or 9 years old, I just remember that, you know, there was one phosphate binder.
That's right.
And it was and basically whenever I burped, powder came out of my mouth. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
They called me
Dragon
Breath. That was my name at school. And it's you know, it's really important to understand that and I just had somebody, you know, I work in animal rescue. And somebody was like, well, I actually started an animal rescue, too, because I love animals. But, you know, anyways, that's a whole other podcast.
Oh, my goodness. That's so cool, though.
I love it because animals have helped me cope so much. I can't even express it. But somebody was talking to me about one of the drugs that was, like, really expensive for their dog, you know. And I'm like, but there's a generic. And they're like, really? And I'm like, you know, it was, you know, just telling them, like, you know, there's a choice. You don't need to get the brand name for this drug for your cat or your dog. Excuse me.
And that's so important for us.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people can't afford the copays or can't afford the medication. So there you go. Go right back to your doctor and, you know, and request the generic.
Exactly. It's just knowing what to ask.
That's right.
Now you're working for your kidney transplant. What is the status on that?
Well, I just found out today that I am officially active on the transplant list. So
woohoo!
I'm really excited about that. And on top of that, I have 12 years waiting time.
Oh, pack that bag, lady.
Yes, so my mother told me this morning that it's time for me to get that bag together and sit it right by the door, and we'll leave it there until the call comes. So I'm really excited about getting this second chance. I'm going to be able to do so many more things for the kidney community and for patients and for the staff members, because I do staff education as well about the benefits of home therapies and about kidney disease management and how patients really feel with kidney disease and how to help them along their journey.
Right. No, it's and the only thing you really need, I mean, you pack your bags, put your cute pajamas and everything like that. Just don't forget your phone charger.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's important.
Our lifeline, right? Our lifeline to everything.
That's so true, yes. But I am really looking forward to this second opportunity. Transplant is a wonderful thing, and it's not a cure for kidney disease, and, you know, they don't last forever for some people, but whatever time that I can get off of dialysis, I'm thankful for.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I had a transplant at 13 and a transplant at 17, and both of them didn't work.
Right.
And, you know, I just kept staying on the list. And when the third one came up, and that it took me, you know, 7 years between the second and the third.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, I spent all my teenage years on dialysis. I mean, that was, and people are like, why are you going to get a third one? You know, you've had two that didn't work. And I'm like,
right.
And you know, I'm like, I was born in Las Vegas, and the odds are this one's
got to
work.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah. You would hope so.
And it did. It was really interesting, but it had some problems. It was, you know, the kidney was, you know, flown in from out of state, out of the body, all these things. And right. I left the hospital finally after they got everything going with a 2.2 creatinine.
Wow.
And, you know, the doctor said that you would get a few years out of this kidney,
yeah.
You know, because it's 2.2. And they also told me, you know, don't have any kids. It's because I'm tiny. It'll stress you out, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I just went and lived my life, took care of myself. That kidney lasted me 20 years. My creatinine stayed.
That is awesome.
I mean, but it's what I tell people. It's like, you know, you just... It's crazy because people are like, you had a kidney for 20 years for 2.2. And I'm like, yeah, I was too busy. I had to do other things. And
that's so true. You don't have time to sit around and, you know, and mope about things.
Exactly.
You have to live your life.
Exactly. And, you know, when I got this fourth kidney, my creatinine is 0.6, 0.7.
Oh,
I didn't even
awesome.
Know. I mean, you know, like my skin color changed.
Isn't that something? I just think the body is just so unbelievably awesome.
Exactly.
You know, I can't wait to see what I'm going to look like when they get that new kidney in.
Well, the prednisone will take all the wrinkles out. That's what I say. That's the positive side.
Yes, that's true.
Steroids make me look younger, I think. But yeah, you just go with the flow and, you know, it's no time to be vain when you're getting well. That's what I tell people. Like, because people get a little nuts. They're like, I don't want this prednisone because I get a little, I'm like, well, you know, if the doctor says you need it, you need it. And you need to, you're playing Russian roulette, man.
Yeah, no, it's that's one thing that you can't fool around with is those transplant meds. If the doctors say that you need them, you have to take them. You have to take them on time, and you have to make sure you get those prescriptions filled.
Exactly. It's so true. Well,
and
you know,
it's so sad to hear of patients that say that they lost their transplant because they couldn't afford the medication.
Well, and, you know, that new law is being passed come January 1st. It takes effect about the lifetime immunosuppressant drug. Now, I always specify because there was some confusion in the community. It's
yes.
just for the medication. It's not
yes.
for the doctor's appointment or the lab
That's
test.
Right.
But it's a step in the right direction, and that takes
yes,
effect in January.
Yes, so, I'm so excited. For all of our transplant recipients.
Exactly.
That is going to be such a relief for so many people.
Well, and it's comfort because, I mean, you know, I know people who are so afraid or they can't afford their health insurance or they don't feel like they're able to. So they actually just they spend down and they don't pursue their dreams so they can stay on disability or state coverage. And, you know, we have such a system that doesn't reward people for taking risks. And
you're so right. You're so right, Lori. It just seems like we're just supposed to stay, you know, on dialysis. And, you know, rehabilitation is not a primary focus.
Well, it's, and I don't know about you, but when you're diagnosed with an illness, you know, you lose your own sense of confidence. And I can't tell you how many people that we've worked with at RSN, and, you know, we build up their confidence, and then they go
Absolutely.
Out and get a great job. I mean, you know, it's really amazing to watch.
Yeah, I reinvented myself. You know, I've been advocating for years, and I made the right connections, and, you know, finally, after years of advocating for free, you know, I got 2 part-time jobs.
Yeah. Find a job you would volunteer for and figure out how to get paid for it. That's
exactly.
my motto.
Yes, indeed.
Well, and, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Dawn, because I was very, very vocal in the 90s about this, and I made some enemies. But I was I didn't plan on doing RSN. I did RSN because other organizations would not do what I thought was necessary. And as you know,
yes.
I'm pretty opinionated.
And we can see the difference, Lori. I just have to tell you.
Well, and the thing that was so frustrating to me is, you know, and I was somebody who worked in the entertainment industry, but I had a boss who told me that, you know, your work defines you, Lori. And I'm like, I grew up, I mean, I feel like the kidney community is my family. So I wanted to work in the kidney community.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because so many people would hire somebody that knew nothing but would insist I be a volunteer.
Isn't that the truth?
And I'm like, I just became irate because I'm like, you don't even value me. You don't really value me. And so we are one of the few organizations that we've been told by patients, if you win something, if you write something, if you, you know, I mean, we try to recognize that when people pass that line of being a volunteer to a professional paid employee.
It makes such a difference in how you feel about yourself, too.
Well, and it's the right thing to do.
Because
I've been in so many situations where somebody's making a lot of money and they got to call me to ask me what to do.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's just wrong. And so I made a lot of enemies because I just, you know, I said, if you don't think my time's valuable, then I'm not valuable. And
I agree.
I volunteer a lot of my time, but I'm not a trust fund baby.
Right, that's right.
And, you know, I got bills to pay, and now that I think
that's
I had
right.
a future, you know, I didn't even think I had a future before, so who needs a retirement?
Yes, but isn't that... Oh, that's the truth.
And now, yeah, it's like, well, God, I think I need a retirement now. But
yeah.
And so it's interesting, but I've been pushing for that. And I'm glad that, you know, because everybody wants patients involved and people involved. And I think that's wonderful. But I also want to, you know, challenge the community to retain the people who know stuff and not
yes.
just replace us with people who are volunteers.
I agree.
And
I agree.
Mean, it's, you know, I think when you get, you know, I turned 56 and a lot of people said, you're so candid. And I'm like, well, I don't know how else
you
to be.
You have to be, though.
I'm just tired of it.
You have to be.
You know, you're tired of it.
You have to tell the truth.
And
you have to stand up for yourself. And we're standing up for patients all
exactly.
over the country.
Exactly.
And we're setting an example. People are watching us.
Well, and it's so true. It's so true.
And it's good to see that industry is changing slowly but surely.
Slowly.
They are making provisions for patients who volunteer their time, and they're turning those into paid positions.
Right.
Health ambassadors and patient advocates.
Patient navigation, you know, that
yes.
was very big in the cancer space.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to work towards that because I'm like, if you want me to do the job of a master's level social worker,
that's right.
I should be compensated for that.
Absolutely.
And
well,
so,
we're on the same page
we
with
are.
That.
We're reading the same book, lady.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you know, I guess we should probably wrap this up. You know, we could probably obviously chat for hours, but why don't we close a little bit about with, you know, what are some suggestions that you would give to, you know, our peers if they've been diagnosed?
To our newly diagnosed patients, I always say the same thing. You know, this is scary. It's different and it's new, but I always say, don't be afraid, you know, be brave. Your life belongs to you and learn everything you possibly can. Work with your care team. Those are the most important people, you know, on this journey. And if you don't like how you're being treated, go to somebody else.
Right.
One person is not the be-all to end-all. And don't be afraid of change. Change is really important because that helps us grow.
Right.
And just be brave. And don't let anybody put you down because of your condition. Lift yourself up. You know, that's really it. Live every day to its fullest. And try to do something that makes you happy. Every day.
It is. It's like my barometer of like the depression screening test, right?
Do you think,
this is my survey question, because I don't know about you, but I get survey fatigue. And
yes, I do too.
Hey, Dawn, do you have anything you're looking forward to?
I mean, hello, hi, you know.
But you know what I'm saying? Like that should be it. Like if you don't have anything that you're looking forward to,
exactly.
I pretty much can guess you're depressed.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important that, you know, we get back to communicating.
That's the most important question.
You just get back to talking to people. And for those of you listening, there's tons of support groups, Facebook, social media. I mean, there's just so many ways you can reach out, you know, through your local networks, any ways to connect with other people who are, you know, because, you know, you can sit in the waiting room of a dialysis unit and...
That's right, and have a support group right there.
Or you can be scared to death by somebody who tells you all of their problems.
Very true, and that is the source of a lot of misinformation.
Exactly. I mean, I had 2 failed transplants, so I don't walk into a unit and say, you know, everybody loves to tell the stories that went bad. And
yes.
I think people need to understand that things happen, but do your own due diligence.
That's exactly right, Lori, because everybody's journey is different. And what worked for one person may not work for another, but that's where we have to realize that, you know, things, you have to change. And if one thing doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean that you, you know, shrivel up into your shell. You know, you have to just push your way through and try something else, because that might be just the breakthrough that you need.
I think Dawn sums it up with that closing. Thank you so much, Dawn, for being part of this kidney talk. And I look forward to, you know, hearing when you get called for the kidney. And, you know, this I always tell everybody, pee all you can pee.
Yes, I love it. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Lori. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network. Please make sure to find us on Facebook or sign up for our newsletter at rsnhope.org. Kidney Talk is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from your physician. Always seek the advice of your own healthcare provider regarding your medical condition.